Well, we've got a special treat coming up in just moments now. We've got a trio in our studio live. Dennis Cook is a guitarist and the fellow who organized the trio, with Brandon Cowan on bass and Jansen Leggett on drums. So Dennis Cook and his trio, and we'll be talking with them too after they get going, but let's get two or three songs going first from Dennis Cook, Brandon Cowan, and Jansen Leggett. Thank you. That's Denon Cook with Brandon Cowan on bass, Jensen Leggett on drums, joining guitarist Denon Cook. And boy, it's so nice to hear live music in our studio, and the guys have just sidled quickly and silently from the studio over into the one we're speaking in here. So welcome, guys. That was sure fun. Really great job.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and we probably had more fun than you did, I would guess.
It's possible. It's hard to know, though. I was grinning pretty big all the way through. But it's true. It's so much fun playing music, you know, just... civilians have a hard time understanding really how much fun it is, but then there's mistakes made too. Oh, you guys just want to play for exposure, and well, we hauled our stuff, and you know, I mean, it's just a lot of work. Yeah, it's true, but it sure pays off when musicians like yourselves do such a sweet job of listening carefully to each other in every little way, little bits of space in the music thoughtfully inserted here and there, and did a lot of things I really care about. I appreciate the drummer taking so much time tuning his snare drum. running around. It's just great. Drummers I like a lot do that, so I relate to it. And wonderful tone out of the bass there. And,
Thank you.
And all of you are just having a real good time. I can tell. Sweet sound, sweet tone, attention to many details. So
thank you
all.
You're very kind, Brian. Thank you very much.
And that's just the facts, cold facts. So, do you have anything coming up in your immediate or midterm future here regarding performing in public?
Yeah, well, tomorrow night we're playing before the concert at the Fox with the Mambo Kings. They're having a mixer, and
we're playing
for that tomorrow night.
And this is Denon we're speaking with.
Yes.
Denon Cook.
And then next week I'm actually a guest artist with the Hot Club of Spokane on their Northwestern New Orleans show on Tuesday at the Bartlett at 7:30. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then beyond that, we got to get ready for holiday gigs and the like. And you can catch us around town. A lot of times we'll play with a saxophone player named Caleb Brown. And yeah, got a lot of stuff going on.
I know Caleb. His dad does a show here on Spokane Public Radio.
Yes.
And Caleb's come over and jammed in my house a couple times. And it's been a lot of fun. Sweet kid. Very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
So what do you call the band? Is it the Denon Cook Trio, or do you have a group name? Or?
We're the Denon Cook Trio, although truthfully...
I said Denon, sorry. I meant Denon. I knew that.
It's a common mistake. Don't worry about it. We're called the Denon Cook Trio, although truthfully, I've always joked to these guys, only half joking, that it really should be called the Leggett Cowan Trio, because I'm really fortunate to play with such monster musicians, and a lot of times it's like, man... I would not sound this good if I didn't have these amazing musicians backing me up. So really, they should get the credit.
There's some truth in that, because it certainly is a group sound, and you all contribute equally, and you're all listening in every way you can, which is a real joy to hear. But you got to call it something, you know. So sometimes you just
he stands
go with
in
something.
Front.
Yeah, you get to wear the white tails or whatever, you know,
yeah.
If it's the tie or something. Well, I recognized the middle tune, There'll Never Be Another You, a real common and a wonderful vehicle for jamming all around, but the first and last were the original compositions? Or?
Well, the first tune we played is called Cookin', and it's kind of a pun. My last name is Cook, but it's spelled K-O-C-H, and so the tune is called Cookin', but it's spelled K-O-C-H-I-N, so it's kind of my own take on the old Miles Davis album title.
Sure.
And the final tune is... I guess you could call it Untitled Number One, but that was improvised in studio. We hadn't played that before.
Yes, all right. Got to watch those Untitleds. You know, there was an era where there were so many songs called Untitled, and, you know, just going to have to name it something, like the band, you know. And then there was even a period where everybody was spelling everything backwards so that nobody would notice. And so Del Nitu or whatever that comes out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of them with that title.
And Horace Silver did a number of those.
Yeah.
The tricky
yeah.
thing when you're playing a song that's entirely made up in the moment is if we feel like we're going to want to come back to like a melody at the end, like
sure.
a head, we have to remember what played.
Yeah.
But that one went pretty well.
That's right. Keep it simple. That's a good way to come back to something like that. And that's Jensen Leggett, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That's the drummer we did that was just speaking. And a nice bass playing too, Brandon.
Thank you.
And that's Brendan Cowan?
Yeah, Brendan Cowan.
All right. And it's a beautiful bass, and it has a really good tone, and the pickup and the amp marry each other very, very well, and it just feels great. I'm probably revealing my bass background by saying some of that, but I don't mean to do too much of that. Well, so you do some group improvisation, like we just heard, and... sometimes you probably get pretty freely abstract as well, and and then you have to grapple with the fact that you watch the audience getting up and leaving, and so you have to figure how to rein that in. But it's good. It's great to be free, but you know, not so free that everybody leaves.
Really, it's all circumstantial. Mm-hmm. Just depends on your audience. I mean, if you're playing at a place where you know there's not very many musicians in the audience, well. Mm-hmm. Probably should stay straight ahead, but if you're playing either in a place where no one really cares what you're playing, might as well just go for it.
Sure. And you know, programming music on this station for a number of years, you know, there was a period when I was a little younger and more idealistic and more likely, more prone to play the more adventurous stuff, and just kind of wear it on my sleeve. But it's interesting and it's tricky. And if you're honestly trying to present a music that is valuable and sometimes rare, just by it being a little bit outside, like what we're just alluding to, if you treat it carefully and thoughtfully and respectfully for everybody in the room, it'll go over better than if you just, I'm crazy. What do you think? You know, they'll leave pretty quickly if you're not thoughtful and careful. But just being thoughtful and polite and considerate to whoever's in the room. It's just tricky to read the room and then
definitely
play it that way.
And I was just gonna say, like, I always think with the free kind of unstructured stuff, I always. My first mind always goes to Ornette Coleman and some of the stuff he did in the late 50s through the early 70s. And the common thread you really find throughout all jazz music, really, but particularly in more freely improvised stuff, is that there's just this honesty about the music. The artist is honest. The artists are all honest with themselves. They're honest with the audience. They're not holding anything back, and they're not afraid to try new things. And often those things don't go so well, and they kind of fall flat. But, you know, every once in a while you find a gem that just works really well, and it kind of encapsulates something, and everyone in the room can respond to that regardless of whether or not they really understand what's happening.
That's great.
And there's nothing wrong with being accessible when you're like trying to figure out where a tune should go. If you go a direction that is more accessible to the audience and less out there and insane, it's not going to make you less artistic. There's a lot of artistic merit to playing something extremely simple that everyone can relate to and doing that really well.
And congratulations for coming to that at a younger age than I did. Because I feel like it's taken me a long time to come home to simplicity. And the older I get, the more I feel that is worthy. You know, sometimes even you play something you think is simple, and you think, but is it simple enough? I bet that could be simpler. And sometimes really dog simple. Can get this fundamental groove feel thing going, and then suddenly everybody relates to it, and everybody's having a good time.
And I think the perfect example of that, there's a reason we call them the great quintets. The Miles Davis, the first great quintet, and the second great quintet were both masters of simplicity, and their arrangements were simple, and what they were playing was relatively simple. They weren't trying to do anything particularly outside or, you know, next generation. Obviously, Miles got into that soon after the second quintet. But, you know, there's a reason we hold those up as some of the greatest jazz groups of all time, because they're all just committed to doing what they're doing extremely well. And that's something that I try to bring to this group.
Yeah, well, that's great to pull out examples like that, Miles Davis and then Ornette Coleman, who certainly would go out, what you call outside, you know, not the conventional or obvious changes and things. But there was a stark simplicity that spoke well. Songs like that, like Lonely Woman or something, where the melody just seems to arch over the whole thing. And you can't escape it, and you hear it again and again, and it just keeps pulling you in again and again. It doesn't matter all the different places it can go. So it sounds like listening to great music is definitely part of what makes up your thinking. Mm-hmm. Do you ever listen as a group to things, or you just
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time we listen to, especially new music.
This is Jensen again.
When something like comes out that we're all really interested in, oftentimes it'll be like at the end of a rehearsal, and we'll mm-hmm. just be like, okay, well, we're going to hang out another hour and listen to whatever this new thing is. One of those artists is, man, I think everything that Kendrick Lamar has released since we've known each other, we've listened to together.
Yeah. All right.
Jumping outside mm-hmm. of jazz for a little bit, although and Kendrick Lamar tends to jump inside of jazz mm-hmm. from time to time.
It really does, cross-pollinate. Jazz is a word we use to simplify the conversation sometimes to people that are a little bit outside the group of musicians that might be playing it. But it really often jumps boundaries, and those boundaries can jump back and forth. There's great music of all kinds that end up being played by jazz musicians that wasn't originally intended that way, rock music, classical stuff, all kinds of, folk music.
Absolutely, yeah. And it should. Goes all the way back to the modern jazz quartet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All those guys.
What do you mean by all the way back?
I mean, like...
that's just a joke. It's because the reason that's funny to me is because that was one of the first groups that made me sit up straight and think that, oh, this jazz thing is a little different from this classical thing. And that's kind of cool. There's things I like about that. So
I just mean, like, when I think
I'm just teasing.
Big parts my age. In history where people have really tried to fuse two types of music together. Mm-hmm. When I think back to, like, the first time that I can think of jazz being combined with something else. Mm-hmm. That was like not close to jazz was mm-hmm. MJQ with mm-hmm. all their third stream stuff, which I love.
You bet.
Mostly because Milt Jackson is the best ever.
It's great to hear. Really, it is. That does my heart good. I kind of like Bobby Hutcherson too. But that's just sticking with the vibes thing. But there's so many things, and it's so great how much music gets shared all around. It sounds like you all do a bunch of listening, and that's a good thing.
Oh yeah.
And it's fun to talk about music, but maybe we should get back to playing some
more.
Yeah, yeah, we don't like playing very much. So, the next thing you're going to hear is an original of mine, and I always think the background of this tune is worth sharing. I grew up in Richland, Washington, and the claim to fame in that region is the Hanford site, which produced the plutonium for the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki. And recently, within the past 5 years. One of the reactors out there, the B reactor, was named a National Historic Landmark, mm-hmm. and I had the pleasure of visiting that in 2016, and the tune you're about to hear was written by me. It's called B Reactor, and was inspired by that visit.
That's sort of growing up, sorry, I have to put
it here. That's okay.
We both grew up in that area, and it's a really weird town to grow up in, mm-hmm. because the entire town was built around something that was so destructive, and figuring mm-hmm. out how to come to terms with your entire community being built around basically the killing of other people is really hard to do. And I think that that's kind of what inspired this composition.
Cool. All right. Well, that's been a lot of fun speaking with Dennis Cook, Brandon Cowan, and Jensen Leggett of the trio that's performing live right now in our studio. And we're happy to get right back to a little bit more of that. So what they're calling the Den and Cook Trio with Brandon Cowan and Jensen Leggett. Thank you.
Thank you.
been listening to the Den and Cook band there. Thelonious Monk's Well You Needn't was the one we just heard, and then more of their original music before that. And what a joy it is, once again, to welcome back to the microphones the Den and Cook guitarist, with Brendan Cowan, bassist, and Jensen Leggett, drummer. Well, that was sure a whole lot of fun. That was a sweet version of Well You Needn't.
No, thanks. It's too fun not to do that way. I was playing a gig with an organ player over the summer, and he's like, "Have you ever played it like this?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm not really sure about that." When we did it, and it's like
a little bit of a backbeat there.
Yeah, it's just too
kind
fun.
Of a hip hop thought or two about it, which I think works really well for that song.
Yeah, I think so too. It's kind of a it's Monk's centennial this year, the centennial of Monk's birth, and I think he would have liked that version.
You know he would. You know he would. I'm going to have to pick on the drummer a little bit again. I mean, that was so sweet, the tambourine stuff you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
That is not a tourist tambourine. That's not a toy tambourine. It's a real one. And I saw it sitting there, and I almost remarked on it, and like, God, is that like a calfskin head? And that looks like a nice rim, and gee, that looks like a nice tambourine. And then, I mean, that was really sweet what you did with it. A lot of good techniques. Have you studied it did a percussion teacher teach you with some of that?
So the instrument is called a pandeiro.
Oh, so it's not really a tambourine.
It's very similar to a tambourine, but it's made so that
sounds Brazilian.
You, like, play the head rather than the rim. Because with a tambourine, if you shake it back and forth, it makes a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. With a pandeiro, it doesn't really. In order to get the rattles to sound, you have to hit the head. Mm. And the head is tuned very low. It's a Brazilian instrument. It's used in
the name
sambas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Paul Raymond is the one who taught me how to do that. He's an incredible pandeiro player. Yeah. And a lot of people just know him as this excellent percussionist for the Spokane Symphony, but what they don't know about him is his vast knowledge of percussion instruments from every continent.
From everywhere, but perhaps a little bit of a favorite one being Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. For him, I mean. And his favorite Brazilian percussion instrument by far is the pandeiro.
Interesting. Is that spelled with a B at the beginning or P?
P.
P. Pandeiro?
Pandeiro.
D-E-I-R-O?
D-E-I-R-O.
Uh-huh. Anyway, beautiful instrument and beautifully played there. I was enjoying the heel and the palm and the fingertips and then the little roll, where you rub the thumb across. Yeah, that is just so sweet and very tastefully done as well. So thanks to you for doing that and to Paul Raymond for planting the seed there. Yeah, I have a lot of regard for Paul. I remember, that's another story. We won't get into that. But I'm glad he's around. Glad he's done had his way there. And that was really, really nice. And again, bass, really beautiful tone. I just love. And you're playing some spots where you're playing the bass note high instead of low. And it's really effective. And it's kind of startling the way that jumped out there. And again, I love the way as a group you all have space in the music, which lets you hear it better. It makes you lean forward into it. And that, just little moments of silence that just capture the attention. And it's sweet.
Yeah, I think that, especially with musicians our age, and we definitely confront this all the time, space is something that takes a lot of forethought and kind of just awareness to be able to do. And I've always kind of thought that the space is what really makes the music. It's without space, there's nothing to relate it to. Just like you can't have gladness without sadness. You have to have space in order to have some appreciation of the beauty of the sound that's happening.
Again, I congratulate you on the wisdom of coming up with things like that at a younger age. It took me a while to figure out some of these things. So it's very deeply pleasing to hear these sort of things. In approaching composition, do you have any things that you think of in particular you want to share?
I tend to be the primary composer for the group in stuff that we actually compose not on the spot. And most of my compositions are tied to some sort of experience I've had. I think that in a way, all these compositions are out there already. They're kind of out there in space, and we have to have experiences within us that kind of open doors, that open us up to those ideas that kind of come to us. And I always approach composition kind of in a way as not as what am I writing, but what does this need? What will make this better? And then every time I'm writing something, is this necessary? Does this fit? Does this contribute to the mood of the piece? And then just continually asking the piece what it needs rather than what I want to put in it. And then once I have like a draft of something, that's when I'll bring it to these guys. And I consider them almost a more important part of the composition process than I do, because I'll bring it in and they'll just play something in a certain way. It's like, oh, I never thought that would work like that. But that sounds really beautiful, the way they're phrasing this or what they're doing here.
Well, fresh ears, fresh eyes.
Yeah.
And crowdsourcing, you know, referring to the knowledge base of your friends, you know.
Yeah, it's not so much my compositions, it's our compositions.
There have been a couple tunes in particular where we got to the end of the tune and I just said to Denon, we should do this. We did that with Bee Reactor. That was one of the mm-hmm. tunes that I changed the or I suggested changing the ending of, and he was like, yeah, come back like the next day and it would be different. And
well, it's great. It's wise to listen, and it's wise to be open to it. And it sounds like a very interesting blend of impersonal and personal, a personal story you're trying to tell, but being impersonal enough to stand back and treat it like, what does this thing of its own knowledge, what does it need? You know, that's very, very useful, very interesting. Do you, when you're doing your group improvisation, do you have anything like precepts or approaches that you've talked about? Or do you just let things go where they go?
Whoever has an idea starts playing it, and that's it. And I think kind of...
Sun Ra.
Yeah, exactly. Very much like a Sun Ra kind of organic thing.
Yeah, but they had some precepts too, which is why I'm asking. Right. But it was also very free and open.
Well, and we're very lucky to have a bass player that can do that, because I think probably the most challenging instrument to play in those situations is bass, because you kind of have to determine what's going on around you and what can you play that can kind of hold it together. And Brandon does a great job, and he'd probably be able to talk more eloquently on it than I could.
Yeah, I mean, I was gifted with a really good ear. For music in general, but just listening to what's going on around me and being able to react to it and actually play the right notes. I mean, the practice comes in where are those right notes? But really playing something that actually fits with what's being played around you is what I think, I mean, it's one of my gifts. And so it's great to have these musicians who are playing things that are like, have room for me to play in them too. So, yeah.
Well, you all definitely do that very, very well. There's something about a trio too that allows a little bit more of that. Mm-hmm. You know, quartets and quintets can get too busy, but a trio, you know, if you're all respecting each other's views and deliberately leaving each other room, which you're obviously really doing, then you know, then each of the pieces can really hold their own and do something with each other. And you are all reminding me a little bit of my some of the impressions I have about Elvin Jones, the great jazz drummer, he would, I could hear that he was listening to the other players by, he was something that another player would be echoed in his playing, and then he'd pick on somebody else, and that would get echoed, and it felt like a good way to add cohesion and to make everybody feel like they're an important contributor. But it's really, really what you all are doing is good stuff, and it's really a lot of fun, and I'm really glad you all could come in and share it. Do you want to go out with another number, or you're running
we'll
out
of one more for you? I actually don't know what we're gonna play. So
excellent. It'll be one of those.
Yeah, maybe we will. It'll be
freeform things.
It'll be a surprise to us as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Brian.
Well, thank you. It's been a complete pleasure. So thank each of you.
Thank you.
Denon Cook, Brandon Cowan, and Jensen Leggett, right? Yeah, right. Okay, a little bit more live music from the studio. And I should mention, too, you're listening to KPBX Spokane, KIBX Bonners Ferry, KLGG Kellogg, KOMQ OMAC, KPBG Oroville, KTWP Twisp, and KPBW Brewster. Thank you. once again, our thanks to guitarist Denon Cook, bassist Brandon Cowan, and drummer Jansen Leggett for coming up to our studios here on North Monroe and doing live music. It's just the best. It always has been, always will be. So many, many thanks to them for coming up.